So good morning or good afternoon, everyone. It's Monday, March 7th, not Wednesday, March 7th, as the agenda says. Here for this, hopefully what is the last editing session of the HSTLD final report. The folks that are on the line at the moment include Pam, Mikey, Paul, and Michael Pelage. Has anyone else joined the call in the last moment? Hearing none. So as you can see on the screen right now is the agenda. We'll just run through it real quickly. And I have listed as number four, published final report by 10 March. I wrote for information, not for comment. And we probably ought to have, you know, a brief discussion about that. The reason I went with information, not for comment, was that I didn't think it was the intention of the group at this point to have another comment forum to take in public comment that is usually what precedes issuing, you know, an updated document or a new report. So are folks on board with the fact that this is probably a paper for information and not for comment?
I would probably lean towards the comment because, you know, what we did was we designed this to be used by other groups. I think that is a general operating principle that we've been working on over the last couple of weeks. And if it is to be used by other people, I think there should be some ability for the community to comment on our work one way or the other. If we just sit there and say we're done, can't touch this, you know, and put it in its own little plastic bubble, I think that's kind of inconsistent with sort of ICANN 101 principles. That's just my gut call. The other thing I think as well is, you know, some people, you know, there's going to be some people that are going to be critical of what we've done. Let them have their say. There's also the potential that some organizations that feel that we've done some positive work can perhaps opine and say, hey, listen, they didn't, they didn't score the touchdown, but, you know, they advanced the ball down the field and have improved this. So I think having a comment forum in connection with this final report is important. I think I don't see how you can not do one is my take, but I'm open to suggestions to the group. I mean, that's just my gut call.
I'm sold, Michael. Paul, Mikey, Pam.
Well, this is Mikey. I'd agree with Michael. I don't think it takes a whole lot more effort to get one more round of comments. I was thinking that little thing that I wrote, I might throw in through a public comment cycle. So
right, okay,
it's a good idea.
Paul, Pam?
I will definitely defer to the experience of the group. I'm much too new to the, you know, proper way to do things. So I'll go with the experience of the group.
Craig, I just have a practical question, I guess, which is, we were shooting for a date to have this published. Are you suggesting, or are we suggesting, a comment period prior to its publication, or just allowing comments to it after its publication?
The latter.
Okay. I'm good with it then.
Okay. And I wrote on here by March 10th, but I think we actually need to be set to go by March 9th, simply because I and most people are traveling early Friday morning, and Thursday is going to be a pretty mad dash to get, you know, lots of other things ready and posted. I think if we can get through the final set of edits by today, and then I turn something back around to folks either later today or first thing tomorrow morning, I think we ought to be able to get concurrence on everything by close of business tomorrow or at the latest very early Wednesday morning. So if everybody's comfortable with that that approach, I think that's the way I see us going forward. In terms of how this will be posted, or excuse me, published, I talked with Kurt Pritz this morning, and there are a couple of other independent pieces of work that are linked to new GTLDs, but you know, they're not completely tied to new TLDs. And what we talked about this morning was posting the HSTLD's final report along with probably one or two other independent pieces of work that will be posted on Wednesday. So unless someone has a strong feeling about that, that feels like a pretty fair way to go with getting it out there in the public domain. Okay, so just a quick run through of item two, and then I'll change views here and open up the report. We've got section one where we talked about whether we wanted to add some new text or not, and we'll flip to that momentarily. Some new text, I think a sentence or maybe two in section four. The text in paragraph four that references vertical integration, we said we'd come back to that. Some revised text in paragraphs 4.6 and also in the comments text from the Deloitte highlights. And then we left off just starting to edit section 6, and I think section 8.0 is still the one that's going to take the bulk of our time today because I think it just still needs some work. So I'm going to flip to another document right now. Give me one second. So is everyone seeing the final report now?
Yep.
Great.
Okay, so we get to first item on the agenda. So we talked about whether we needed to add some information from Section 8 here, whether we needed to have some type of closing paragraph, and what I thought I heard last week was that we probably didn't, but that we all agreed we would come back to it. So for the four of you that are on the phone, what do people think about this? Michael Pelaez, you want to start as the chair?
I'm fine in just ending it there. Just, you know, adding no additional text and...
Me too. This is Mikey.
All of them?
I'm good with it.
Same here.
Okay. So let's move to section four. And this, there was nothing here before, and I just added this one line of text, so it didn't look kind of, 4.0 didn't look a little bit naked by itself.
Okay?
Yeah.
No rocket science here. We get to 4.1, and this is one of those areas where we said we'd come back to. Some in the group had suggested we end the sentence with after the word initiative, and then delete in a similar fashion as they did with in the vertical separation issue. I think Michael, you felt Michael plays that as. You seem to feel the most strongly about this. Where are you today on it?
We can delete and move forward.
Everybody in the group okay with that?
Yeah.
Yep. Ooh, it's turning.
And then we
get approved. That's cool.
4.6. Yeah, so a couple of folks said we needed to just relook at how this, we needed to look at how this was worded, and I played with it, and let's all just take a moment to read through it and see what folks say.
Darn it, Craig, you just took away my I was going to jump in with my first grammatical change, but you took it away when you typed in the
Oh. I'm sorry.
Oh, isn't that sad? We're not even on the board yet.
That's okay. You get one anyway, Paul. We'll give you a
strike. I think the text looks fine.
Yeah, that's way better.
Yep.
Okay, just bear with me for a second. We could all read it without all the funny red marks in it.
Craig, you could just highlight that paragraph and just hit accept, and it would accept all of them. Sometimes.
Oh, thank you. Good to know. So is everybody good with this?
Moving right along.
Yep.
Okay, then we get to Deloitte highlights. So let's see. I mean, the point of the text here, I went back and read the Deloitte response. What they were trying to say is that the more prescriptive the controls are, the more difficult the process is, but that if with some flexibility you allow any assessors or any attestation firms to actually have a little bit of play with the process. They were basically advocating fewer standards than we currently have in the control worksheet, and that's what the intent of this section or this sentence was. Is it still not clear given that context, or are folks okay?
This is Mikey. What if we stuck the word more in front of prescriptive rather than more, maybe even more dash prescriptive? I don't know, something like that.
More dash?
I don't know. I'm.
So, Mikey, what are you getting? What are you trying to?
Well, I think the thing that confused me the last time was, I mean, Craig, when you talked it off, it made perfect sense. I think the problem was reading it. You know, it's almost, you know, as much as I hate quotes, this might be a good use of quotes, quote principles, quote criteria. Quote, illustrative controls provide for greater flexibility than the more prescriptive, quote, standards. But this is sort of a nit, so, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I'm pretty much fine no matter what we decide here.
Any master editors want to have some a suggestion for this line? I'm sorry, Pam, go ahead.
A question, because when you were speaking, you said that they were also recommending less controls. Is that in this section, too? I thought I read it somewhere.
Well, let's see.
It's if you've already said it somewhere else. Otherwise, that also might be a good thing to include in that quote.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought I'd seen it somewhere else. Maybe not.
Sorry if I'm going through this too quickly. I'm trying to see where this...
I guess not.
Yeah,
so that
I
might,
guess not.
That might be a good thing to include in there, given that that was part of the context.
Okay.
It's not, yeah. So maybe.
And maybe that helps you out of the writing jam at the same time, Craig.
Mm-hmm.
because that could go in first. So you could say that the recommendation is fewer standards rather than more.
And principles, criteria, and illustrative controls are more flexible.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, having come from that world at one point in my career, what you had written, Craig, was good audit firm speak for what everybody is just saying, but I think it does help to clarify for those who are not of that world and nomenclature.
Right.
Essentially, what they were saying is use principles and not specific standards. Makes
right.
it easier. But
ooh, I like that phrase, actually. Just
ooh,
that.
Ooh, that's much easier.
Yeah.
All right, so let's
say that again.
Double bonus points for that one. I love
yeah, double
that.
Bonus
yeah.
points. Those are word score points for sure.
Now you need to spit it back out, Paul.
Okay, I think I said use principles and not specific standards.
Yes. And then just to fuzz it up a little bit, we might want to say instead of use, that the program favor principles.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we don't want to say
yeah.
never, ever use a standard.
Right. Good point.
Oh, very nice.
Oh, yeah, that's way better.
Yeah.
Nice job, guys.
Yep.
Ta-da.
Ta-da.
All right, so what I did with this section was I inserted some numbers and just tried to make this read a little bit better. So let me, thanks to Michael just telling me how this all works. Let's read this section again.
I think I'd add the word, yeah.
Which, what would you like to add, Mikey?
Oh, never mind. My eyes played a trick on me.
Okay.
I think I would say, for one, upon completion of remediation for high or critical.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good...
There you go.
And I'd actually add between four and high identified.
And then change four to of.
On completion of remediation of.
Yeah.
All right. Let me just check in since we've been chatting away. Has Jonathan or John or Lynn or Eric joined the call? Okay. So should we move on to section six?
Yep.
Yep.
We're doing great.
Oh, actually, I'm sorry. We're not quite done. So I made changes to this section as well. Let me just accept all this.
Hey, Craig.
How are you doing?
Oh, Craig, I've just been looking over the schedule for San Francisco, and I wish I could clone myself.
you and everyone else.
Yeah.
It's going to be a wild week. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
So, Lynn, have you gotten into the Adobe room, and can you see where we are now?
I'm just about to.
Okay.
Thanks.
We're actually in the...
No,
go ahead, Pam.
On that particular paragraph, the part that confuses me still is the second bullet, which says benefits to registrars.
Yeah.
It's almost like the next two bullets should be indented.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. If that's true that they are benefits to the registrars, they aren't.
I'm looking at the dual aid proposal right now, and what it says next to benefits to the registrar, it says recognition by means of a seal for a compliant registrar would provide added incentive for a registrar to successfully complete this portion of the assessment, and this would be a differentiator.
Okay.
Do you want to add all that text? Well, capture the benefit part, which is the differentiator. So you could say benefits to registrars, basis for differentiation. Yeah, that'd work in the market. Yeah.
That's excellent. And then I would move that particular bullet either first or last. It's kind of weird that it's stuck in the middle of the other three, which kind of go together. Much better.
Yeah, much more better.
Okay.
Kill off your last little empty bullet. Backspace.
Yep. Backspace. Yeah.
That's right. Never mind. You're fine. Pay no attention to the guy in the back seat.
So we move down to section six is where we really left off.
Hi, this is Dave.
Oh, hey, Dave. So we are now looking at section six, which we didn't really start to cover on the last call. Actually, no, we did, but I think we realized we were just about out of time.
Yeah, we got going on that first paragraph.
So will everybody just take a look at the first paragraph again and let me know if you have any questions about it.
Paul, you especially should look at this because I was trying to clarify what I thought you meant.
Yeah, Mike,
right.
You're fine, and the paragraph is fine. I'm good with it.
And then what triggered all that was the title of this first part, where we got stuck. So now that we've rewritten the first paragraph, the language proposed in square brackets, I think,
can go away. Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, that would be the heading, and nature and scope of positions would go away.
Right, nature and price.
Yep.
And just to, well, I'll let you finish that, and then. When you're typing, use the word breadth instead of scope. Because where we got stuck was on the word scope. And what we did in that first paragraph is we changed scope to breadth. Yeah, there you go. And Paul, do you view that as a friendly amendment?
Scope is probably a word that relates back to my old audit days, and breadth is probably one that more people who speak English understand.
Well, the problem was that we got stuck on a couple of different definitions of scope. And it wasn't so much that the word scope was a problem. It was that what we're talking about here is how broadly the program applies to people rather than the size of the program. And so that was...
We're good. I still love you, Mikey. Don't worry.
All good. Right.
So...
Yeah, this first bullet under that says position one,
right.
And then the sub-bullet under that, I mean, this existing ICANN requirements mitigate the need. I have a concern with that because the reason this whole initiative was started was that there was a view, I think, from the banking community that current ICANN requirements were not adequate for higher risk that their industry faces, and that they suggested perhaps there could be other other industries or groups that might have a similar higher level of vulnerability. So, I suggest that we strike that first sub bullet because I don't know that we can say it that our current requirements meet the need or mitigate the need.
Yeah, let me tell you what I did here was I tried to go back and capture from the notes that we had, not necessarily everybody's position, but the what the arguments were that people were making for why that particular position was the right position. So at that time, for that position, was why do we even need this? Speaking as the BITS person / banking person, yeah, I was the one arguing probably for position four, but what I tried to do without necessarily attributing the comments to anyone was just list out these are the arguments that those participants who were in favor of position one were making at the time. So it's not to suggest that position was the one we ended up with, and therefore that argument has merit to everybody, but it had merit to some folks who were arguing for that position, if that made sense.
Yeah, that's exactly the way I read it as well. It's not so much, Lynn, that we believe that. It's that's one of the major positions that was held by some members of the group. And so this isn't in the executive summary as our conclusion. It's simply, the point that was raised by those that felt that way.
Yeah, does that make it better for you? Because way back when we started having this debate, there were folks who were arguing, despite the, ICANN's willingness to spin this up, despite the motivations for their willingness to spin it up, one of which was certainly the banking world, there were people who came into this who essentially said, we shouldn't do this at all. And because here's why. And though we went on, though we bypassed that position eventually and agreed that it was of worth, that was a position that people were articulating. So maybe to Lynn's point, maybe what we need to do in the first paragraph there, where we say there were primarily four positions considered, maybe what we need to do is add some language to clarify of I'm not quite sure how we'd say it, but
I mean, are they positions considered or held by participants in the group?
Yeah, or advanced by.
Yeah. I like that.
So, Lynn, are you? Let's check in on this. Where are you with based on that last discussion with the wording?
Lynn, are you muted, or did you drop off the call?
Yeah, kind of wondering if we lost Lynn in there somewhere.
Yeah. All right. Well, do you have a gizmo you can see how many people you have on the call, Craig?
I'm not logged into that gizmo.
Oh, okay.
Lynn's still on the Adobe Connect.
Let me just send a note through the chat. See if.
Okay. Thank you, Mikey. And while Mikey's doing that, Paul, was there a particular rationale behind how you ordered the positions?
This is Lynn. I apologize. I had to step away for a few minutes.
To answer your question, Craig, no. I think I just kind of ordered them, I guess, from least expansive to most expansive, but...
Then I goofed it all up with the last one there. So we could reorder these bullets as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I don't know that it really matters what order they're in. I mean, as long as we articulate the positions that some participants were taking.
What if we moved number one down and made it number three? So the first position is the one that basically is the one we're advancing. It's a voluntary program.
Yeah, that was part of my rationale behind asking the question. I don't know that we necessarily want to...
Wait, before you hit that clicker, I have a thought. I do agree that we probably ought to put the position we ended up with either as the first or the last. I might put the last and list the first three and then say something like, however, the position that was ultimately selected by the group was this one.
Well, I think the tricky bit to saying ultimately selected is that, you know, we don't really have consensus. And
that's always been the tricky bit in this one.
That's the tricky bit. So I'm fine with that. You know, we could say something like,
mildly agree with this position.
Well, I mean, that's the whole point of my big long rant is that, you know, we never really laid the groundwork to be able to say that. And so I actually kind of like the way the paragraph stands right now because it doesn't say which one the group picked. But at the same time, the one that the stalwarts who are on the phone are more inclined to support. Certainly, the stalwarts don't support that first one. And, you know, so I think a key point of agreement is that that first one ought to get demoted so that it's not the leadoff.
Yeah, I would appreciate it. I guess I'm in that stalwart bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that.
I do agree. We probably should not highlight that one. Let's somehow try and highlight the one where those left standing are mostly in agreement.
Yeah.
All right.
And so that's why I was thinking pull number one down to the number three slot.
Okay. I'll make that change when we're done. So if people want to take a look at the actual text right now and just make sure that you're comfortable with it, we'll kind of move on to our page-by-page methodology that we followed last week.
Could you go down to position four? Under the sub-bullets there. Oh, let me see. I feel like an additional sub-bullet under position four has to do with scale, that right now with less than 30 TLDs, you know, it's been difficult to really accurately identify all the aspects of how a program like this would work. But as TLDs scale up and increases in scale, I feel like this whole issue is going to come up again. I think that's why we're believing that this is going to lay some groundwork for people to take a future look at it. Could somebody help me phrase that?
Let me take a crack at it, because this is basically a super aggressive summary of my little submission. And so we could say something like, again, I want to avoid the word scope.
Yeah, I think scale is, or value, or volume of, or number of TLDs to me is the key point.
Yeah, and so maybe we say, since this is phrased as a series of questions, what if we phrased it as a question? What will the impact of a dramatic increase in the number of TLDs be?
Yeah,
on
that's
issues that we're trying to address.
Yeah, that's perfect.
What was that? I'm sorry, Mike. What was the last
that we were trying to address?
Although, isn't that kind of given? What about if you just say, what will be the impact of a dramatic increase in the number of TLDs?
Yeah, and then you could say something like, what would the impact of a dramatic increase? Slow down there, Craig.
Okay.
Well, this is Jothan. Hi, everyone. Sorry, I came late.
Okay.
I think it's good to constrain it to what our sort of focus was with respect to HSTLD in that statement.
Yeah, that's true. We don't want to take on the whole scaling issue. That's for sure.
Exactly. It kind of pries that genie back out of the bottle.
Well, I guess the way I'm thinking about it is, since we agreed that it should be a voluntary program, then that's a subset of the total number of TLDs, and so I think that's one of the challenges of trying to design a program at this stage. We just don't have enough TLDs that would be seriously interested at this point in time. But that may change as we have a dramatic increase.
Ah, see, that's even a little different. I like that.
I agree with you.
Craig, while you're driving your cursor around, stick the word increase in between the words dramatic and number. Yeah. Dramatic increase in the number of. There you go.
Could we then maybe say before the question mark, as it relates to interest in a voluntary program, or as it relates to zones that would benefit? I'm trying to think of the right word here.
Well,
we could say based on the premise that this would be a voluntary program, what will be the impact?
So, see, as it relates to the zones that would be considered candidates, or zones that would benefit. I don't know the right wording here. I just, you know, for me, I'm I'm concerned we'd hit the root scaling thing and kind of pry that back open if we don't put a little fence around the garden here. I think you said it really well, Lynn.
Yeah, I said based on the premise. Of this being a voluntary program.
Okay, so now let's accept that for a second, and then go. What we have to do is we have to put an object in this sentence. So, what would the impact of a dramatic increase in the number of TLDs be on the operational feasibility of such a program based on the premise that this is a voluntary program? See what I mean? We've still got to get a subject in there.
How about
So operational feasibility is the key concept that I wanted to advance, but I'm
So, Mike, you say your sentence again?
So what would the impact of a dramatic increase in the number of TLDs be
okay,
on the operational feasibility of an HSTLD program?
Or instead of saying what would be the impact, what would be the change in operational feasibility? If there is a dramatic increase in the number of TLDs.
That's fine. You want to drive Craig through that?
What would be the change in operational feasibility? Delete impact. And then say if there is a dramatic increase in the number of TLDs, and then we, instead of based on, we could say assuming.
Given that, yeah.
Assuming or given that this.
This is likely to be a voluntary.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm just trying to get on the scorecard here.
Yeah, you got a typo one too. To be a bait. Likely to be.
Alrighty then, I better get on the scoreboard and put in a quick grammatical fix.
Yeah.
In the paragraph above.
Oh, come on, Pam. You had a real big lead from last week.
Yeah, it's only fair. Some of us have got a long way to go to catch up.
That terrifying mentality comes out. I always have to be on top. Go ahead, Pam.
It's a position for the nature and value of the program, such as the HSTLD, cannot be determined due to gaps in the analysis conducted by the group.
Oh, way to go.
Where are
that's
you,
my Pam? Sentence, so I view that as a friendly amendment.
All where right. are you, Pam?
It's up in the position number 4 sentence, between the word gaps and the. Yeah, in.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good change, Pam, thanks.
Mm-hmm. So now we're back, now we're down to this next highlighted item. So did we go up here? Up here we went with positions with regard to the nature and breadth of an HSTLD.
And here we would do positions with regard to determining the effectiveness of an HSTLD. Again, Paul, check me out on this.
No, I think that's good. I'm happy with that.
Okay.
Yeah, why does it keep doing that?
Like it doesn't like you.
It's not getting rid of everything I wanted to get rid of.
It's just because it doesn't like you.
Oops.
No, it's going to, yeah, it's just go ahead and type HSDLD again. Yeah, there you go.
And in fact, you probably want to say an HSTLD program.
Yeah.
If it's not the actual,
Yep, yep.
But,
now, Paul, I did another thing here in this next little chunk. I split and said that there was these two major positions on the effectiveness, and then in the second position, or in the first position, folks were also divided and then carried on with your text.
Yeah, that's fine. The only thing, having made that change, maybe the paragraph introducing those two positions, the word several probably doesn't make sense anymore. And we might want to say the group was divided between or among whatever. The group was divided between two major positions.
Yeah. If I were King, I would take the sentence that says to assist its deliberations, and I'd make it a new paragraph just to make that paragraph. It's a pretty long paragraph. It's hard to read.
Not sure what this guy hanging out here is, but we'll figure it out.
So do we really need, you just split the two paragraphs. The last sentence in the first one says, the group's discussions covered various options in this area with the key challenge of trying to reconcile a number of positions. We've already stated just above that there were various positions. Do we really need the statement again of trying to reconcile positions? Or can we just say the group's discussions covered various options in this area, period? And then go on to say, to assist its deliberations, they solicited input.
I'm okay with that. Paul, this is your paragraph, so.
I'm good with that.
Passive voice alert on the last sentence, ultimately.
Yeah.
Take the primarily to continue to move the concept of the HSTLD program forward and move it to the end of the sentence.
Say that again, Mikey. I apologize.
So it would read, ultimately, the group's discussions in this area focused on two key methodologies, formal verification and report carding. And you might even lose the clause that says to continue to move the concept of an HSTLD program forward. I'm not sure it really adds a lot to that.
Yep, that's good.
Yep. And I think that point we just took out is made multiple times throughout the rest of the document, so we don't need it here.
Yeah. I think under this methodology and in this methodology, what if we lost the under this methodology clause? Since we've already just said in this methodology right in the sentence before.
Agreed. Just start the group vision.
Yeah. It's looking good to me.
Anybody?
Hang on. So, second bullet under disadvantages. Just reading this.
Okay.
Liability arises from two sources. First, from the reliance that outside parties likely to place on the accuracy of the attestation verification process and the outcome. Okay, gotcha. That. If that verification proved inappropriate. Okay, that's good. Okay. No, I think I just read it wrong.
Very good on this page?
Yep.
You know, in looking at the report card option, maybe I missed it, but, you know, on the poll, I think the reason we had a low percentage in favor of the report card was because companies usually don't want to disclose the specifics of, you know, where they're weaker and stronger. And from a security perspective, that is also considered to be risky because it lets potential attackers know where your weaknesses are.
That might go in the disadvantages.
Yeah.
Discussion underneath that. Maybe we roll back up to the bullets underneath the report card and just add it.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people were like me that's why I did not want to go that route. And we've noted that only 25% were supporting the report card option. I think that is probably why.
So shall we craft another bullet that goes right underneath the one that's there on the top of the page that sort of says something like companies may be reluctant to disclose what they perceive to be
vulnerabilities.
Vulnerabilities to the outside world, or
mm-hmm.
just
to publicly disclose.
Yeah. And you know that they perceive. Why don't we just say publicly disclose security vulnerabilities?
Yeah, I think that's cleaner. Yeah. And we could say as part of risk management.
Are you tacking that on, Lynn, to the end of the sentence?
Yeah. Because if you disclose that, you're basically increasing your risk.
How about if we said put parens around that? And said,
around.
So as part of risk management, put that in parens and then say, as an aspect of there. No, I'm sorry. So then inside the parens, Craig, as an aspect of there. This is where I wish I could think.
Instead of as part of risk management,
yeah.
You want as an aspect of their...
Of their risk management.
As an aspect.
Program.
Yes, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm wondering if we even need the paragraph with the poll. Because we're probably going to run into static that the poll wasn't terribly, you know. I mean, having lived through the VI group.
Well, I think it says a straw poll. So
yeah.
To me, straw poll kind of qualifies it. That it wasn't like...
I don't
like
have real strong opinions about that, but...
All right, we'll move it along then.
All right, so we've got an hour left in the call, and we've still got quite a few pages to cover, so...
You can't rush perfection or consensus, Craig. We'll get there.
Okay, so passive voice alert on the first sentence. The group published two progress reports, i.e. snapshots of its work to date during the course of its deliberations or something like that. Second to the last line of the first paragraph, comments, plural, on their work. And then in instead of to right after that, or into their work or something like that. One word.
Since we're getting pretty detailed here, I think the second sentence in the paragraph the summary of those status reports. I think it's a summary of those status reports. And at this pace of review, by around midnight, we'll be done.
Thank you, Paul, for that sanity checkpoint.
You know, midnight is it's only 11 o'clock here in Wisconsin, you know. Piece of pie.
And I'm not quite sure the last sentence of the second paragraph. The majority of the comments provided here and in other new detailed D applicant guidance comments for a can be grouped. I'm not quite sure what the sentence is saying. Is it just saying that the majority of the comments provided here and in
Yeah, I think what I was trying to capture here was basically we got lots and lots and lots of comments, and they basically fell into these five areas to try to give like a high level overview before we got into the specific comments themselves.
Yeah, you know, I think that rather than struggle through the new GTLD applicant guidebook comment fora, which does get a little tough, you could just say the majority of the comments
can
largely be grouped into the following categories.
It just makes it read, and I just was asking because I wasn't sure if that was a critical thing to include or not.
Well, I think the reason why I included that is because what's detailed below are just the public comments submitted in the two comment fora on the HSCLD snapshots. But there were other comments that were made about the program in other comment fora that were for the new GTLD applicant guidebook. So I was trying to make sure that we
how about another sentence? How about a sentence right after the first sentence that says, in addition, comments were made in other public comment fora addressing, you know, take that, let's see, how about?
Why don't we just leave it like as it just was?
Yeah. I mean, I understand what you're trying to get at, and if you wanted, you could stick another sentence that said, we got lots and lots of comments in the R2, in addition, some other comments came in from the new GTLD.
But don't you address that in the next paragraph?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I think you got it covered.
Thanks,
there.
Pam.
Yeah, that's the ding. That's the big winner.
Any edits on the bullets themselves?
Nope.
So I don't think we need to focus on what did they say, because these are copy and pasted right out of the comments themselves.
Fine with me.
In terms of things like the voluntary nature of the HSTLD program, given that we haven't really got consensus around that point, is there a way that we could blunt that somehow?
How about this? The potential voluntary nature of the program would allow.
Yeah. Probably potentially voluntary. Yeah. You're having a tough time there, Craig.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not.
It hates you.
I'll have to come back to that one.
Are you working on a PC? If you are, it'd be a good time to save the document.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
No.
Mikey with the curse.
What the voice is the name?
Focus.
See, I think that really all of these, rather than go through them one by one.
Yeah.
I don't know quite how to do this. I mean, that paragraph that your cursor's on right now, we don't know. I mean, you know, we aren't making a clear enough recommendation to be able to say that. You know, we could say it is very unlikely, or I don't know.
Yeah, but I think that's a good edit there. It's not anticipated. Because, I mean, it's actually the opposite, that the concern was, you know, can it financially be supported with fees?
Right. I mean, I have to admit, I didn't read this column at all when I did my review, and so the possibility exists that we have this kind of edit to make all the way through, and I'm not sure we've got time to do that.
Well, let's we've got 45
minutes.
Let's
see how we do.
How we do.
But, you know, I guess the thought I had is if we have a lot of work to do on Section 8, we've got sort of a choice in terms of how we use our time, because we could burn up the rest of the hour on this, I bet.
Well, put it this way. You want to just continue to go through sequentially if we need to have another hour or try to do something online? I'm just saying, if we start jumping around, let's just be methodical and get it done. We're now up to page, what page are we on? We're plowing through. We're on 32.
Okay.
Let's just keep on ticking the pages down.
Okay. Well, and I think I'm going to ease off on this particular line of editing, because I could see wrapping us around the axle on this. So.
Yeah.
So just focus on stuff that really sort of raises your concern.
Yeah.
So this highlighted information in red highlights is actually something that I just added within like the last few days, based upon something that I heard internally.
Yeah, isn't some of this coming out of the GAC board discussion?
I'd actually heard this before the GAC consultation started.
Ah, okay.
People okay with me scaling down a little bit? I mean, sliding down a little?
Yep.
So, Craig, back to that. You don't have to roll the screen for this. This is just a question for you. Where's that coming from? Is that who suggests? Because, you know, the HSTLD control sheet, that's like that skips all of the issues that we haven't resolved yet.
Well,
if they're going to just drop that into the applicant guidebook.
Well,
I
think they're looking at, are there a couple of the controls that they could pull out that would add value to the response on this particular question that might be worthy of an extra point of scoring?
Who's they in that?
The TLD implementation team.
Oh, okay.
Kurt Pritz et al.
Et al. Okay. Well, I guess that concerns me a fair amount.
Kurt probably doesn't care about your concerns.
Ow.
I'm just being honest, Mikey. I'm just, anyway. I'll
I hate those arrows through my heart.
And I can take this line of text out of the paragraph just as easily.
I'm less concerned about the line of text than I am about the fact that they might do that kind of a thing. You know, the line of text I have no problem with at all. But the notion of dropping HSTLD control worksheet stuff into the DAG without any community review whatsoever makes me crazy. But
so
as Palage says, probably Kurt doesn't care. So there you go.
I think this last block, this big block of text, is right out of the recently published summary and analysis of public comments.
Yeah, it looks good.
So I just copy and pasted the whole thing.
You're doing potentially voluntary right at the top of your screen, third line. Looks good. Hey, looks okay to me.
At some point, a lot of this stuff starts to get repetitive.
Yeah.
You can say that again.
No, 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 no.
And this This comes right out of the board resolution, so I'm going to go past that.
Yep, that's all good. Woohoo, there's two pages in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, way to go. No, no.
No?
No, no. Don't go there. Don't beat that one to death. I think it's fine.
Yep. Okay. You're good. Keep going.
Thanks, Mikey.
Do you need a sentence after third party? It could be developed and implemented by a third party, period, the group did not undertake. A net, but.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
That's good.
This, again, is copy and paste.
Mm-hmm. Roll back to the just a couple of lines there, Craig. Yep. So instead of as work, why don't we say if work?
Oh, good.
Hey guys, hold on. I'm going to put you on mute for one.
I thought for a minute he was giving me a raspberry there.
It did kind of sound like it.
I'm glad it was his phone.
I'm back. Sorry about that.
No worries.
Same thing, next paragraph. Right? No, never mind.
No. Yeah, see, this is a direct contradiction to that paragraph that you inserted before. But again, it's merely policy. It's not grammar, so. I'm really perturbed about the insertion of an extra point in the applicant guidebook for this. So how can I raise this, Craig?
Think about the fact that the whole point system was created by a team, right?
Yeah.
And now they're potentially looking at modifying, that same team is looking at modifying the criteria and the scoring. I mean, I don't think this is completely new, the approach.
No, it's not the approach. It's the fact that it's a bad idea. And how do you influence that team, or how do you at least give the team a heads up that it's not a real good idea?
So I think we're done with this.
Cool.
So now we're to number 8, which I think where I'm waving my mouse over her now, I think in the absence, when we get to that in the absence paragraph and everything that follows, just for me doesn't work very well.
So, are you maybe saying stop after this first couple, three paragraphs and bullets, Craig, and chop the rest off, or do you want to try and rewrite it? How do you?
Well, I just. What am I trying to say?
Yeah, I don't think you should lose it, because this is some of the lessons learned, right? So why don't we just title it Lessons Learned?
So you want to put a...
Well, isn't that the section title?
Oh, is that the section title?
Yeah, can you go up to the top there?
Top again? Oh.
Yeah, Lessons Learned is already up there.
So scroll up a little bit. I'm trying to put the whole thing together. So we've kind of got the overview statement right underneath the title.
Right.
So with regard to the overview statement, remember I raised this last week. I still think that when we talk about security and auditing, I think we needed to broaden that to the original talk where I was referencing the multidisciplinary aspects of this. Right? It's not, I mean, what we've learned is trust is just not how you properly and technically configure a root server. It's more than that.
Yeah. I agree with that, Michael.
So I think what, because if you read this right now and knowing how Mr. Pritz and company work, okay, great, we need to do this and we just need to get some security, you know, security and technology, or technology.
Did we just lose you, Michael?
Uh-oh.
He either muted himself or hung up.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if this is what Michael intended to say, but even very technical security people will always ask for, you know, business requirements and a business orientation in developing a program and in selecting controls. So I don't think we want to frame this that it would be a purely technical group.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good, Lynn.
So, Lynn, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. We're good now. So perhaps what to do is, instead of trying to limit it, right, is that it must, I think in the very first paragraph in the opening, I talked about how it was a multidisciplinary group. I think I forget the exact language that I used, but let's just continue to use that same language, that the group must be comprised of, you know, that it be multidisciplinary, that's it, and instead of giving an enumerated list, we just leave it at that. Because once we sit there and start trying to come up with an enumerated list, we may be over-inclusive or under-inclusive. We agree it needs to be multidisciplinary, that's it. Let's move on.
Yeah, I agree.
I like that.
Good.
I'm fine with that. I think that maybe what Eric's point, you know, I'm thinking about why he would have written that. I think his point was that some of those kinds of people weren't well represented in the current group and that we should strive to bring some of them in the next.
Yeah.
I actually wrote this paragraph. Not, this wasn't part of Eric's contribution.
Oh, okay. My thinking
was very much along the lines, Mikey, of what you just said.
Well, in the way you formatted it, and I think this is why I got a little confused, the first two paragraphs really are recommendations, and then you move into your lessons learned, right?
So do you want to either create two separate sections, or do you want a heading, subheading underneath each one?
Oh, I get it. Yeah, I think that...
Maybe we start with lessons learned and then recommendations?
There you go.
Is that how you would do it, Pam? Or
yeah. Yep. I like that.
All right. So 8 becomes lessons learned, and 9 becomes recommendations, and then the recommendations is kind of short and succinct.
Exactly. Perfect.
Right. And that means that your paragraphs, Greg, would move down to that last section.
Right. Yeah, so I need to figure out how to make and this part happen.
Yeah, that flows much better.
Yeah. I like that, too.
All right, so I'll have to play with this.
I think just one quick point in that section is you've got quotes around secure TLD, and forgive me, but I don't believe that anything is totally secure, so I always react to that word secure anything, and that's why I like the term high security. Because it's just relative of a high security. Thank you.
You might want to put that in quotes again, Craig.
You okay with that, Lynn?
Yeah. It's just... Thank you. It's just my little hot button. I don't like describing anything as secure.
Okay.
My house is secure. Oh, yeah? I've got a nuke.
There's always a way. There's always a way.
Mikey, why did you highlight the word effects?
What is the intended effect singular? That's all I was going for there. I was just trying to get points on the board.
Or is it, what are the intended
effects? What are the effects?
Either works, whichever way you prefer.
Is there any more questions on the questions?
Mm-mm.
All right, so let's... Shall we shift gears to lessons learned, or do folks still want to cover more on this?
No, this is fine with me.
Fine with me.
Yeah, me too.
All right, so we come back up to lessons learned.
Yeah, that flows a lot better.
Good, that page.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? I didn't really get the, in this issue one under scope, I didn't get the inclusion of this who is reference.
I think both of these might be improved in the second sentence by saying The statement of scope adopted by the working group should address the distinction between, quote, TLD security and the who is issue. And then let the people who are figuring out the scope of this thing work it out. You know, I don't think that we should prescribe the scope, but just acknowledge that this is tricky and that they should think about it. And I think in the second one, it's the same sort of thing. Should consider whether to exclude.
Yeah, that.
You know, I don't think it's our brief to scope the next one.
Good.
I don't know why we'd even talk about, even consider to exclude these folks. That makes me a little nervous putting that in there.
Oh, well, you know, if they're presumed to be excluded, then that's fine. I mean, if in fact, maybe Eric's right on this. I was sort of flowing along from the first one, but.
Well, and it was part of the discussion, right?
Yeah.
Part of the question.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was reading too much into this the wrong way.
That happens in ICANN sometimes, Craig.
Sure does.
That shows you're a true ICANN insider. It's been how many years now?
Five. Five long years. I tell everyone I did have a full head of hair at one time.
God, that's
so under work product, I wasn't around for enough of it. Why does it say issue two, inability to obtain comparable RFI responses? Does it just mean that some of the areas were left out? Or because
maybe we didn't have enough?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think what he's pointing to is in the, we had a little discussion on why the cost estimate varied between some of the RFI responses. One was very large and one was quite a bit smaller.
Oh!
It's like,
so
welcome to the world of auditors.
Yeah, so they weren't really comparable. It wasn't, you know, I think what he was is saying, you know, I hate to put words in Eric's mouth, but it might be the indicator was the wide dispersion in the responses, and the issue was perhaps a lack of clarity of what we were asking for.
Yeah, I would definitely put some more text in there because, you know, from someone that's outside looking in or didn't go through all of this with you guys, I don't know what that means.
Maybe inability to obtain consistent RFI responses.
Well, maybe the lesson learned is that, as I'm thinking about this, and bear with me for a second, we sent out a very broadly worded RFI that really allowed folks to respond with what the approach was. It was a, you know, request for information, but we didn't tell them, this is the kind of program we're going after, you bid on it, and give us an idea of how you'd approach this specific kind of program. So what we got back was a very broad range of options, which was very
right.
Helpful.
Right.
But, so, you know, is the lesson learned, I mean, if we're going to have a lesson here, is the lesson learned that, you know, if you want the ability to compare RFIs, then you need to get specific with what you're asking for. And that's not good language to use, but.
No, I think you've got it.
I think what we have here is the result, not the lesson.
Right.
I think that's fair, Paul. And I mean, if you look at what we are really trying to do with the RFI is we were actually just trying to ask questions for things that we did not know or may have missed. So I think the over-inclusive nature of how we wrote the RFI was the right approach. And, you know, if in fact this, if we would have moved forward with a tender or something like that, we would have perhaps come up with something a little more detailed or a little more specific. So I think we are focusing more on the results. So I would agree with you.
Well, I agree too.
Can you guys put that in a paragraph? Because what you all are saying is very, very good, but you don't get that out of what's there. I mean, like something along the lines of, you know, the RFI was written very broadly in order to incorporate a broad range of opinions. However, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Because what you guys are saying is excellent, but it's not in there.
Are you suggesting, Pam, in this area or back up
yeah.
in?
Yeah.
Well, it flows with the structure of the rest of this thing, where Eric has got the issue first, and then he's got a sentence suggesting
right.
what to do the next time around. It's like he may have forgotten to write these or something, but rather, you know, and I wouldn't frame it in a justification sense. I would offer a suggestion as to what to do the next time.
So maybe there was both a positive and a positive lesson and a less than positive lesson. So the positive lesson we learned was that an RFI, a broad RFI, was a good way to solicit a lot of information from a set of experts that weren't directly involved in the project.
Yeah.
Yes. It was a way to solicit additional
information gathering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
And the lesson that I think the words we're trying to get to here was that, you know, the ability to compare responses to an RFI is probably tied to the specificity of the question asked.
Yes, and I think that's actually typical of an RFI because to me what I was actually disappointed in is that the only interested parties who responded were all auditing experts. We didn't really get any other other types of expertise who were willing to give us you know, a response. And to me, that was the lesson learned. I thought we did a good job on the RFI, and I think we did the right thing of writing it broadly. But, you know, what we learned from that is unfortunately only the auditor community or auditing businesses were interested in responding. And they did have varied approaches and varied feedback, but it was all from the same kind of professional expertise.
All right, so help me finish out the sentence here if you can.
Well, I wouldn't, that last sentence fragment, I wouldn't approach it that way. That's just defending what we did. I think the suggestion to future generations is, you know, maybe confer with target respondents before writing the RFI. To make sure that they can respond to it.
Right.
Yes, that and to me the lesson learned was that with hindsight I felt we should have tried to build a bigger distribution list for our RFI. I mean,
yeah.
we did publish it publicly, but you know, we actually did not have a very big list that we specifically distributed it to.
Well, and I think that you guys are both saying the same thing. I like the way you said it, though, Lynn. that next time around we should, how did you say that again?
Well, build a larger and more varied distribution list.
Yeah, I like where Craig's going. I was
Yeah, thank you, Craig. That's good.
You know, engage with potential respondents early and often might be a way to do it. And remember that this is a recommendation, Craig, not a critique. So you should change that should have to should. Should, and then delete have, and then occur. Because this is the lesson. And then to a broader range of respondents. You just missed that. Yeah.
Now that is excellent. You can really understand what the lesson is now.
So is anyone concerned about issue one right above it?
Yeah. Again,
yeah, we should probably come up with a similar, and in fact it's the same lesson probably.
Yeah, I think it is actually.
Well, was it that, or is it that none of the current seals really fit our particular set of...
Well, yeah, none of the current seals out there really fit our needs, but then, you know, what we needed is somebody who's willing to think about some kind of a new seal program.
And I think that you're... Oh, there's a spelling and outreach. It's missing a T down there, but if you took that lesson and splashed it right up behind this one, too, I think you'd get.
Are you talking
it's the same.
Talking this highlighted text.
Yeah, but it's the second sentence in there. I think what I would do is just take the second sentence and splash it up there as a copy. Yeah. Or one, you know, another way to do this would be to just combine the two issues.
Yeah, that's good. So I'd say outreach to potential vendors.
Well, this wasn't just to vendors. That's the trick.
Oh.
This was a request for information from smart people, capital S, capital P.
Was there a separate effort to try to locate a seal vendor, or it was just that one RFI?
It was just the one.
Oh,
right.
I think it should be included.
I'm sorry, Pam, say that again?
Maybe to Mikey's point, it should just be combined. Inability to obtain comparable RFI responses.
And an inability to locate a seal or equivalent vendor. And then...
And not have two issues, just have one paragraph.
Yeah, just have one issue and then one lesson learned. Yeah. Because it's the same lesson.
Yeah.
It's sort of two symptoms of the same problem.
Yeah, instead of having issue one and two, it should just be a paragraph, right?
Yeah, or issue one. You know, it's probably issue one just to keep the structure the same. But
don't forget your RFI. Don't chop it off. you love all the backseat drivers?
Yeah, I was going to say, man, oh, man, this is like driving a car with 9 people in the backseat, all help.
And people wonder why the GAC needs some more time to perhaps reach consensus. We're a group of sector people, and it's taken us how long, right?
Yeah,
amazingly, with all these people in the back seat and the nature of what we're doing, I'm really surprised I haven't heard someone say, are we there yet?
Oh, that was very well set up.
I think Greg has probably mumbled that under his voice a couple of times.
Yeah.
7 minutes and we're there, I think, or hopefully shortly thereafter.
So we've got these two process points.
I don't know. being a total outsider, issue one is not one I've feel real comfortable with.
I just don't know what it means.
I don't either. I've read it three times, and I'm thinking, what does this really mean? I don't know. To me, that I...
Well, it sounds almost like an accusation.
Yeah. You think?
You think? And
I think we should just delete that.
I guess I'm
that.
Uncomfortable with that accusation because I don't really know that it's just...
Well,
about.
Hang on. Let me ask you... Wait. So what if you just delete the effective bit access, whatever, on the agenda, and just say, did we need to do more documentation around any of those, or around the establishment of the working group and any rules? Was that really learned or not?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that our final report here is going to prompt those questions about, you know, how did this group, why did we establish this group in the first place?
So I think maybe just get rid of the effect of this access on the agenda and just say the issue is around the processes on the establishment of the group.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then what happens is it's a fair question but takes up the negative inference, which I think is really inconsistent with the remainder of the work products of the group. So,
yeah.
So, Craig, just one nit on what you just did. So you go, the process leading to the establishment of the working group, colon. That way we've still got an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we've got an answer.
Yeah.
The process under which the working group,
So I know we've got a little bit left here. It's 5 minutes to two. I've got a pretty near hard stop at two. So why don't we finish this last bullet, and then why don't we finish this last bullet and kind of figure out what the game plan is going forward?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think we're done.
Yeah, I think we are. That last bullet's fine, except we need to say the effect.
Well, no, because all the way through this section.
To be consistent,
He's been doing it this way all the way through. That's the problem. I mean, if you wanted to, Craig, you could take as a global change suggestion to roll through every single one of these sentences and put a preposition in front of the first.
Yeah, some of them have the and
some
don't.
Either way's fine.
Yeah.
And the other, while you're looking at that one, too, the other thing you could do is, after the colon, you sometimes start with a capital, you sometimes don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a tidy up for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll fix
not a big deal, but... And I think their rule usually is that it would be a capital, but I could be wrong on that. We need Lynn to step in on that.
Nope. Lynn or Pam? Pam's our...
Yeah, I think maybe it's Pam.
Yeah, Pam's our grammarian.
Not really.
Okay, so I'll go back and I will clean that up throughout. And so we've got this Annex A, this scorecard.
That's Pelage work. We don't have to touch that.
Nope, it's good.
Yeah, that's my view too. Yeah.
All right. So
work expands to fill the available time.
So what I'll do is go ahead and clean up things per the discussion. And I'm going to probably send this, once I've accepted everything, send it off to someone who's not been involved in this group and have them read through it. Because I just don't know that I would actually catch anything at this point.
Yeah, to be a fresh set of eyes.
Yeah. So I will do that later today and shoot around a revised red line either later this afternoon or first thing tomorrow morning. And just ask that if folks have further comments on the red line, that they get everything wrapped up by close of business tomorrow, and that we definitely get together in San Francisco, for those of us who are going to be there, and have a drink and raise our glasses to the folks who aren't going to be there and include them as well.
Sounds good.
I'm for that.
Thanks again, awesome. Craig, for all your help, and
thanks
Craig. Everyone for the stalwarts who made it through this long endeavor. I really appreciate it.
All right, guys.
No, I think it's good.
We'll be talking again soon.
Bye.
See you again.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, see you in San Francisco.
Craig.
Left.